call the Tenney County Planning Commission work session meeting for Monday, December 3rd, 2012. To order. If you'd like to establish a quorum, please, Mr. Ashley.
Okay, Dave Stewart.
Present.
Rick Caudill.
Here.
Steve Adams.
Here.
Ray Edwards.
Here.
Rick Therese.
Here.
Sean Pingleton.
Here.
Randy Hayes.
Here.
And Ronnie Melton.
Here.
We have established a quorum.
Okay, would you like to explain the public hearing procedures, please?
And basically, this is just intended to be an informal work session. We were going to talk about nightly rental this evening, and then also the two zoning districts, the western and eastern zoning districts map. We've also got Dave Fawcett with us with the Southwest Missouri Council of Governments, and he wanted to see, I think we were looking at maybe a 10 or 15 minute period of time, and I don't know if you need a little longer than that.
Hopefully not too much longer.
Okay. And
keep it short, Dave. We have short attention span. Okay.
And he's basically proposing to put together a future land use map.
Well, why don't we? We've got three things on the agenda tonight, Dave. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and bump you first.
Okay.
So you can make your presentation to us, and then we'll do. You're welcome to stay for the rest of it if you like. But you know, that's up to you.
You know, planning fascinates me, so there's a chance I may cut out a little early.
Okay, good enough for me. I might do the same thing. So if you're ready, go ahead.
I am. But I don't know if there's anybody here that wasn't here at the meeting a couple weeks ago. Hopefully everybody's familiar with what we talked about in this map project.
I don't think I have one of those.
Okay. Well, these are all new. Pass those around. I think there's 10 of them, so there may be a few extras. And this is also for reference to, this is just the model I proposed putting together. So this is basically scoring and ranking these different map layers that go into this model for land use suitability. We've got our three different categories, conservation, agricultural, urban. This is kind of a score sheet that I put together. The best way to do this is to compare each one of these layers in a pairwise comparison, comparing it to another layer. On the scale, on the front one of these pages, I have a scale. And this is a scale from 1 to 9. 9 being extremely more important to the map that it's being compared to, and then 1 being extremely less important. 5 on the scale is that the importance of each map layer is equal. So without further ado, I'd like to go through one of these and show you guys how this is going to work and if we can get them all scored in the next 10 to 15 minutes. We did this before and it takes somebody about 20 minutes to go through this, but I'll facilitate and I'll answer any questions about any of these map layers and see if we can't go through here and reach a consensus about what that number should be. For one map layer compared to the other.
Okay, and just for clarity, we're doing this to give you an idea of what we may be looking for as a planning commission, but there's no commitment to do anything past that at this time.
If whatever it produces, if it's completely the opposite of what you want to do, you know what the opposite of what you want to do is. So there's no obligation to integrate this stuff into a future, but it's going to be a good baseline just based on what things are where. So you see on crop the conservation page, on the first table that goes across the top, we've got soil, USDA soil maps for suitability for camping areas, paths and trails, and play areas. So in that first row, we're going to compare the map for camp areas to paths and trails. So come up with a qualitative statement of how much more important the suitability for camping areas is to actual paths and trails.
And that's the number we write down there.
That's the number you write down there from 1 to 9. If camps and camping areas are less important than paths and trails, that number is going to be less than 5. How much less than 5 depends on how strongly you feel about it. So if without paths and trails, what difference does camping areas make? That might be a little bit more important. How much more important than camping areas? Maybe somewhere in between 9 and 5, like a 7, that would be strongly more important to have at least a way to get to different camping sites would be paths and trails. I'm just throwing this out there as a way to think about these kind of things. But these map layers, you just go from the row across the top, and it's a little sluggish getting started, but once you get the hang of it, it goes a little bit quicker. So if anybody has any idea about how strongly they feel about one of these map layers, specifically comparing camp areas to paths and trails, how more important or less important would camp areas be?
You want an answer for more ones?
If you'd like to fill each one of these out individually as we go, that's fine too.
We put what we wanted, paths and trails.
Right. Where the zero is on the first thing. I'm comparing camp areas to paths and trails in that very first line. Where do I write my number?
Right underneath where it says paths and trails in that row. The camp areas row in the paths and trails column. That first.
So all the numbers go in the middle?
Right. The reason why there's zeros in here is we're not comparing the same map layer to itself. So that's kind of like a matrix. So camp areas is zero compared to itself. What we want to do here is say, how much more important are camp areas than paths and trails and play areas?
So you write that under paths and trails.
Right in that cell right there, you write that number. And
that's the number down here below.
Correct.
Here's your score.
For an example, we're going to say paths and trails are more important than camp areas, but less important than play areas. So we start like at 7, 6, and a 5, or a 4, 3, and a 2, or...
Exactly. That's exactly what we do. So if it's less important, it's going to be less than 5 on that range. If it's more important, it's going to be than 5 than not.
You can't put the same number down?
No.
You could. You know, you could have all of them be equal to each other. They could all be 5, 5, or 5.
The only one I don't understand is where that one goes.
We don't write nothing in the camping area.
It seems like it's a little harder than
I'm not like something.
So in this,
I don't understand what I'm judging.
So you're not going to compare the
importance between these three areas.
I think you're looking at camp areas first, and you're comparing it to
importance in relationship to what?
Well, for play areas, how much more important are camp areas than play areas?
Okay,
I wasn't here for the first one, so I'm completely lost. I'll be the first to admit it.
Okay, let's not let him explain. If you're going to explain it, let's keep it to dummy level.
Yeah, because I wasn't here for the other one.
So if you're going, but what he doesn't understand, what Dave doesn't understand is. What we're comparing, we're actually comparing...
Are we talking about public land or private land? Or
yes.
We're talking about...
every
square
for all of Tata County.
30 meters in the county is going to have a relative suitability for one of those things compared to the other. So basically it's...
This how are they going to build them if they're privately owned?
Well, we may zone them for that.
That may be in the future. Think about the timeline in the future, you know, maybe... At some point, a family member will inherit that parcel of that foundation or a trust, and then if they're not here, they may sell it off. Maybe an opportunity to do something. But it's not really worried about the policy. The goal is right here, find land suitable for natural recreation areas. So these are the best examples I could come up with the soil map. So if it's camp areas are greater than... Are more important than paths and trails, or they're less important?
It's just how we feel about them.
How you personally
do? I feel that camp areas are more important or less important than trails.
Correct.
And do I feel?
I think they're compatible. I mean,
well, then five.
And then you could,
I mean, that's something that goes together, like bacon and eggs and all that sort of thing.
I think that's excellent. If you could put 5 on all of them, and then they all have the same weight when they're. When that map layer is pulled together.
Well, that takes care of that. Here
we
go.
If that's how you feel.
We'll just write the number for camp areas, compare that to paths and trails.
Okay.
Write that here. You don't have to fill that out if you don't want to, because the inverse of that score would reflect
the total on that
station.
Well, the only one that hasn't been compared in that case after the first line is paths and trails and play areas.
Yeah.
Haven't been compared to each other.
Well, you are comparing because the numbers are going to be weighted. So the total over here, it's going to be, it don't make you 42 here as long as you put it in. You can use 1, 2, 3, you know, as long as it's in the area of importance to you.
If I'm comparing camp areas to paths and trails and camp areas to play areas, I haven't compared paths and trails to play areas.
That's true. You're going to have to do them all if that's the case. But the way I see it, if we have the weight over here being, you know, 1, 2, 3, it doesn't make any difference now, whether you do all three rows or not.
Here's something on the, go ahead.
No, that's true. I'll be able to determine what the weight of the whole layer compared to itself by the inverse of the original one. And that will go into a total.
But there is no inverse to the original one, paths and trails.
Are we going to be graded on this?
There'll be no grade.
Is the camp area the public?
There's no wrong answer.
Through the county or through the forestry or?
Well, USDA soil maps.
Oh, only if this is a 5 or those are the same.
For these types of activities.
Only if that one there is.
We're not saying who owns it.
You say player areas.
We're saying that part of the Kane County has intrinsic value.
Compared to what though? Compared to.
Regardless.
You're not comparing them to both, you're only comparing them to one at a time.
Well, no, I'm talking about.
You and I don't understand.
Me either.
So personally,
it's about like an old boy shot himself in the foot and it hurts, but he shot himself again.
Not answering my question, is it? Or maybe I'm not understanding.
I'll try.
I just don't understand.
Camp areas, is that's going to be something through the county and through the forestry together as far as, or you're just talking about where the land is going to be?
Whoop, don't put no reason in here on this.
But regardless of who owns what, you know, there's certain soil exists in certain places. And that's all we're saying. We're not saying what policy is going to be. We're just saying that, you know, if there's a certain 30 meter by 30 meter part of the county, it's going to have a value for something.
Where's this land at?
This is all
anywhere.
I know, but I mean, where is this suitable land that we're talking about?
Well,
do we know that?
I brought last time, I had a bunch of the maps that showed a bunch of that stuff.
Well,
I want
to look at some maps before I try to decide anything like that. This is just about like shooting for chickens in the dark to me.
You'd have to. Looks to me like you'd have to know where the land is suitable.
I don't.
Before you'd run them over.
I did it.
To survey it.
I mean,
me to survey it, I need to know where the.
Now, I might be wrong, but let me explain what I think you're doing.
Move it on.
Okay. Well, yeah, I've been wrong before. My wife told me that.
Are we on mic?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We're weighting what is more important to us compared to other things in the county. We're not figuring out how we do it. We're not figuring out it. It's just saying, do I think that camp areas are more important, equally important, or less important than paths and trails? Yes or no? Put a number down there. Okay, and what that's eventually going to do when it gets all this data in here is it'll tell which layer needs to hold the most weight to us as a group.
So we don't need to worry about the map or
nothing
then.
It's
very generalized.
Is that what it was?
That's exactly. Just however that makes you feel.
Okay.
Put it on
that. We're not solving problems. It's your opinion.
Right.
Now, the only thing I don't understand on the deal is how to write the numbers down. It's a little confusing.
Well, that's why this column is map A. So each map A will be compared to.
I think the inverse thing is throwing me off because we're
answering
the question.
That's why I wanted, this is more simpler just to score each map layer. Because then I can come up with a total and sum that up and whatever proportion that is would be the weight. So, but right now it's just.
If we do it like that, 5, 6, 4, and then you go over here and total.
But you're missing one.
Well,
yeah. But this doesn't have to be scored. Every time you have a map compared to itself, it's a zero.
It's a zero.
You don't have to fill out that cell with a zero. Just ignore that
one. But in theory, if I put a 7 on one, like let's say I put camp areas and paths and trails, I think 7.
Okay.
Then the other one should be a 3.
It should be, but that doesn't necessarily work out all the time. You know, this is kind of getting into theoretical.
Okay.
But it's a different process to do that, but as long as I have those first 3 rows filled out, I can do that.
Okay, so let's do the first one. I'm looking at camp areas over on the left, and I'm looking at paths and trails on the top, middle. And I'm going to say that Let's just say I love camp areas and I hate paths and trails. Okay, let's just, in theory. So I'm going to put I want to put a 9 there for camp areas, for compared to paths and trails. Do I put it in the middle top column? That's where I put it.
Correct.
Since I love camp areas and hate paths and trails.
Right.
And you put it across from camp areas.
Right.
And the other two, you don't have to put nothing.
That's the next comparison.
Anytime there's one of the circles,
then I go across.
Right.
But I have to put something down there on the play area.
Right.
I mean, under play areas.
Well, let's say I love play areas and hate camp areas.
Okay. Now I'm catching on with you.
So play areas are more or less important than everything else. And then paths and trails are more or less important than each one of the other.
And then I go to the next line and I look at paths and trails compared to camp areas and look at paths and trails and compared to play areas.
Yeah.
And then I go to the last line, like play areas and compare it to camp areas, and look at play areas and compare it to paths.
That's
how it's
supposed to work.
Okay. It's so just, I think what was getting me was the double.
Right. It doesn't have to be the exact inverse. It'll all play out in the final.
Okay.
You don't have to participate if you don't want to.
I'm not comfortable with it at all.
Okay.
I don't like to give an opinion on something I don't know what I think I'm talking about. I'm just not comfortable at all.
I'm here so I can tell you what it is.
Yeah, I'm following all this, and I've been through various things. But
say it's a little bit more important than camp areas, so I put a 7 there because that's strongly more important. Play areas, well, with whole counties, play areas sometimes maybe that's not as important as camp areas. Camp areas would be.
Yeah, I put a 3, 7 and 3.
That's
I don't
fine.
Understand.
I'm just trying to provide
7 camp area to me personally is more important than the other two.
Okay.
So.
All right. And then I compared paths and trails. Is that more or less important than camp areas? So I already said that was camp areas are more important. So I'm just going to say 3 here because that's less important. It's pretty less strong with less important. So it's kind of the opposite of that. Now play areas, paths and trails. I'd say paths and trails are more important. So I put maybe a 6 there. Moderately more important. And then play areas to camp areas. We already said that camp areas are a lot more important than play areas, and then play areas and paths and trails. So,
you're putting a lot more numbers down there than I thought.
That's less important, so I'm going to call that a 2. So I'm going to add these up, going across the row, and I'll get 16 here in the first one, I'll get 9 in the second one, and I'll get 3 in the last one. So then it's easy to tell that this one is the highest importance based on that score. So then I can take that, apply those weights and combine all those map layers together.
Oh, okay.
And then keep putting that in the model.
I'll see what you're doing.
And I apologize, and that's all my fault. This is a little bit kind of tricky to get all this information. I mean, we only had 10 or 15 minutes, so it was really stressful last week. But I put this together and I had some people run through it, and hopefully if there's any questions about what any of these layers are, I can answer it.
What is soil flood FCIs?
That's the soil flooding frequency class. So that's the frequency that soil, that type of soil flood.
Okay.
Can you explain the value less or greater than the same thing?
Yeah, that's the way I am too. It's like,
I
don't think it's legal to have wastewater lagoons.
What is that value?
For one house.
And you still have one outside and kept up?
So that's saying, okay, so a land value less than 10,000 is that?
I don't think it's
equal acreage to acreage. I haven't made that, but I can cut it. You know, the state's taking over the regulations, I guess.
Yeah,
the DNR.
To acquire that property and convert that to the
Well, that's kind of the reason why you're expired for the session. So you want me to
cultivated crops and pasture and hay, ain't that kind of a...
Beans would be a cultivated crop, the way I've read it, right? And then hay is...
I think these are real crops. They're detected from an aerial satellite image. So these are cultivated crops or real crops. In USGS, this is 2006. Same thing for pasture and hay. So at one time in the recent past, either cultivated crops or pasture and hay were detected at a certain place using this imagery from the USGS. So obviously if they were actually undertaking that, I think that land would be suitable for either cultivating crops or hay and pasture. And then
okay, that's what it means by it. A lot of places that use the same land back and forth with both things up north.
And that tells you how much I know. So, you know, there's a disclaimer here about a lot of this information and how it's put together. And we should have a little bit more time to
catch you guys when this is back. It's not something we're used to doing all the time. This is how Fortune 500 companies solve, look at different problems just by evaluating different sets of alternatives against each other. And it comes up, it's called the analytic hierarchy process. I'm sorry for that. This is a really good way to see where there's agreement and where there's some conflict among these different values. It's really powerful when you're doing stuff like this. And I'm going to write this up, and I'm going to put together a report. I'm going to do the model, and I'm going to put together a report with mostly maps and things like that. I'll try and get that to you guys in a couple of weeks while this is kind of still fresh, so you can see, you know, how things stacked up. And I'll have all the information. I'll make sure that you
know. Okay. You can work with Bob with that, and he can coordinate with the chairperson.
Okay.
As to how they want to handle that. More for you?
Yeah, sounds good.
And Bob knows I like getting people together and scoring stuff. I've done that a couple of times, I guess, recently.
It's
alive.
We done it.
You did.
What'd you do?
I didn't do it.
There's
a man sitting there down the table.
I thought you were at me.
Man in the blue shirt.
I think we wrecked that paper girl there. I don't know. John, I thought we were supposed to eat tonight, wasn't we? Steve supposed to bring something to eat?
Next week.
Well, we had him convinced it was tonight, and he forgot it.
Dang, I wish I'd known that.
Thank you.
Where's my fried chicken? I haven't decided whether I'm going to bring donuts or cake or...
Hey, you said cake.
Well, I mean, I like cake.
I don't care. You said cake.
I'm going to bring you cupcake.
I think from what they told me, not to. It don't matter. I've done wasted my chance anyhow.
Yeah.
I can't eat it anyway.
What, the cake or the chicken?
Eat the cake.
If you guys want to move on, maybe this gentleman can finish up and Bob could get those.
I'm going to wait. Okay. All
right. Fine. Do you want these papers back?
Those are all yours.
What kind of chicken you gonna have? Fried bacon.
We're gonna.
Yeah, what are we gonna have?
Probably Fat Daddy's. See one at least. He's got one hanging out there too. I need to see you boys here.
Glasses.
Take my glasses off.
Guys, did everybody get an opportunity to look at what Bob put in front of us as far as while Randy's finishing up the Kenny County Development Guidance Code? If you haven't, take a look at it while we're waiting, and that way we can get started on it when we're done. And
The front page is just what's in the code book currently.
The whole first page.
Yeah, the whole first page is what's there now. And then the next four pages.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Hopefully I'll put something together that's
understandable. They had planned the meal, so they told us you were coming. Didn't you, Steve? Back there.
Yeah.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Next time you come, you can bring the meal.
There you go. He didn't answer that deal.
Treated him too well. I think we treated him too well. I tell him that he's kind of in the dark about what he wants.
I didn't mean to be rude or anything, but I...
Hey, if you don't feel like filling out, that's fine.
It's still vague. It feels so vague to me. I mean, the whole purpose of this.
I believe it's just a matter of... And you weren't here to be able to see what he's
doing.
That's
true. That's true.
Yeah.
He has different map...
layers.
Layers. And... let's say, after everything's compiled, we as a group have decided that wetlands are the most important and camping is the least important layer. They'll be put on the map that way to say, hey, here's the best or worst place to put this in a master plan. Not that that's what we have to do. It just gives us some information of collectively how we feel about that. It's no commitment to anything at all.
Well, I understood that, but it's still a guidance tool.
It is one little bitty tool and a guidance tool. That's really what it comes down to. Whether the staff decides to use that or not is up to you all and the staff. But he couldn't really move forward without that part of it being done.
I understand. I wasn't trying to be difficult.
No, you were here, so I get it completely.
But I didn't feel comfortable.
Last time with the presentation I thought was a little long, a little more information than we needed, and so I didn't know if we were going to have that again. So I wanted to make sure.
Where's the funding coming from this? Provide all this.
He got a grant.
He's gotten a grant through a community development block grant.
In other words, I feel better now that our money is well spent.
It's spent. Lots of things.
Enough said about that.
Okay. All right. So that's where that was. So thank you for taking your time to fill that out. And we're going to move forward with the nightly rental stuff. Continue.
I know there's a lot of differences of opinion on nightly rental. What the staff tried to do is we basically what I looked at was nightly rental regs for other places. I got some regs from some of the counties in Colorado and Arizona and Florida, and just tried to look at what they were regulating, what types of things. The other thing I tried to do is I tried to get a hold of the other departments, like within the county or within the state, that have regs about nightly rental. And first off, the state of Missouri, if you've got a night, they have the same definition for nightly rental that we do, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a nightly rental operation, you're supposed to pay state sales tax, and so you're supposed to obtain a state sales tax license. I've contacted the local fire districts, and they're going to vary quite a bit. I mean, in all honesty, like the Western Fire District and the Central Fire District, they're going to look at an awful lot more things than some of the more rural fire districts. And so that's why I tried to write something concerning the fire districts, but I tried to keep it a little bit open just because it's going to vary depending on the district it would fall in. In contacting the collector's office, what they indicated was that they require, and this surprised me a little bit, but they indicated right now that they require a merchant's license if someone has two or more properties that are being used for nightly rental. For whatever reason, if it's two or more, they look upon that as a business requiring a merchant's license. If they have one, they don't. But if they have that second one, they actually look at that as requiring a merchant's license. The health department has some regs, but theirs don't kick in until there are five or more guest rooms. And so if it's one of these larger houses, they basically look at it the same way they would a hotel. I mean, they pretty much look at it, and they define it a little differently. They actually define guest room. So if somebody's using the living room as a sleeping room, they look at that as a guest room. So if it's got five or more guest rooms,
Do they consider two guests to a room? So if they sleep 10 or more, I mean, is that what they would probably
pretty
consider?
Pretty much. That?
That
seems to be kind of the standard.
Okay.
Yes, it seems like most everything looks at about two people per room. The other thing we really tried to do with this is we really tried to sit down with the on-site wastewater regulations, too, to say, you know, basically, and correct me, I may misspeak here, but essentially, it's been long enough since I've looked at it. They look at it as essentially two people per bedroom. Mm-hmm. Is it 60 people or 60 gallons
60
per day?
60 gallons per day per person.
Per person.
120 per bedroom.
And so pretty much what we looked at was if it was a two-bedroom house, we looked at it as having an occupancy for two people per bedroom. And I just got this from another place, but basically they gave them a bonus two people. I guess, you know, so if you had, and the other thing that I really liked is we tried to limit the occupancy based on both the wastewater and the parking.
And that's part of my regs before we get too far. If you have a three-bedroom home that you know is going to have 10 people live in it, well, you have the three bedrooms, two, 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 so that's six. So we got to take the other four people times 60 gallons per day. So we need to add another 240 gallons per day plus each bedroom to get a gallons per day to size the system. And Dave knows how that goes. But if you have a three-bedroom home that's going to have 12 people, they're going to sleep in the living room, and you've got to add 6 times 60. So that's how we arrive at those figures. You don't want to just go by bedrooms.
Right.
Because the night the rentals got rollouts, and the couches got rollout.
Do you have, is this going to be, if this is approved and added compared to what we've got here, is this basically going to be added in our regulations in the same spot?
That was my thought, was just to put it in that same, which I know it's much more lengthy.
It needs to be.
I mean, it's much
opinion.
More.
Normally I wouldn't say that, but I mean, there's a lot of things we didn't cover before that.
I've got a question.
Yes, sir.
In here it says 20 persons.
We're going to go, in a minute, we're going to go by page on these.
Okay.
I want to go over a couple of broad things and then we'll go by page.
Before we do that, I'd like to ask a question. Why are we trying to rent single-family residents for less than 30 days? Why are we trying to open that up? When I went on the commission, we didn't allow that, and we didn't allow it for a long time.
It's happening all over the county, right?
Right, there's 500 of them in the county.
How many?
It's not permitted.
That's the thing. That's what started it, Ray, is because they're all over the county and they're not permitted. They're not legal.
Well, I realize that. But we're opening up even more now, and we're going to turn this whole county in to a motel in Taney County.
Well,
you don't think there's some more regulation? If we try to maintain it and have more regulation, don't you think that we'll have more people comply? Other than just saying we're not going to legalize it at all, so they're going to keep doing it on the side like they've been doing.
Yeah.
Which do you think would be better?
I think we'll have language in here that says nightly rental for single family residents shall be for a term not less than 30 days, period.
So
and that's what we used to do. Now, we've got organized watch committees around in neighborhoods in Taney County. We've got some neighborhoods who just do it as a matter of courtesy to the neighbors. If we open this up and turn that house into a nightly rental for less than 30 days, that pretty well wipes them out.
Well, look,
they don't know who's going to be there from one night to the next.
And there's still the option of the commission to deny that. But let me give you an example. My wife and I stayed at a farm in Coal Camp. You guys know where Coal Camp's at? Okay. It's just west of Lake of the Ozarks.
Yep.
They own 250 acres. And in the middle of their 250 acres, they built a two-bedroom cabin on a 15-acre lake. And you can stay there nightly.
Yep.
Okay, you could pay X amount of dollars to stay there nightly, fish in the lake and all that, and leave. Technically speaking, that's a single family residence that, under what you're saying, would not be allowed to rent nightly. Now,
would you want a house next to you or in your neighborhood that anybody could get on the internet all over the country and rent it for a night or two nights?
You probably have one.
You not my hood is?
I do have one.
You probably have one.
But
no, I don't. Ain't nobody going to bother me. Let's go across the highway.
Okay, but first of all, it's happening. It's happening every day.
But it don't make it right.
And I can't stop
well,
it, though.
But putting regulations in there doesn't mean we approve them all.
Well, we have not approved it.
What it does is it sets a standard so we have something to go off of.
How is a neighborhood watch party going to determine where the people in that house on a nightly rental should be there or shouldn't be?
They're doing it now.
Not to any great extent. It's going to be worse if we adopt something.
How is writing regulations, I don't understand how that makes it worse if we write regulations to regulate it. It doesn't say, listen, you all can do this all over the county. What it says is that to do this, you have to come in and get approved and follow these regulations at the bare minimum, plus whatever else we may add.
But why do we want to have regulations for less than 30 days? Because where anybody can get commentary anywhere in the country can get on the internet and rent that and be there tonight, maybe tomorrow night, and they're gone. Somebody else will
because
go the next
night. It's going to happen.
It ain't going to happen if
it's
we don't allow
today.
It.
It's happening today.
If we put regulations in there that they can't rent.
We already don't allow it, and it's happening today. I mean, they're not in there now.
We've been approving some lately.
Right.
But they're being approved because they're in areas that are already doing it. We did not approve one over in the Poverty Point area because those people, they were hard against it. Right. And we did not do that because there was no others in that area at all. Some of the others that we have approved are in good areas, I felt, and okay for those. And some of them already had some nightly rentals. And I'm not crazy about the ones that we're approving over by the cabins over on 86.
Jones Road.
But there's already a bunch of them there, and there's all those cabins right up the road from them that are nightly rental anyway.
There were a lot of them built for that, Rick. I was working over in that area at one time.
And nobody complains about it. That's how I look at it.
So we kind of, I kind of okayed that. I heard those people on that. But there's some of them that I just would not agree with at all.
The part I'd like to limit is the ones doing it to making party houses out of these.
How are you going to limit the people?
I agree. I mean, you're right.
Limit the occupancy.
Well, that's what they're doing.
The
bedrooms
do.
Well, I know
well,
what
the bedrooms
do. Are just four of them.
Well, I understand that, but a nightly rental, but we're going to end up with 30 people in a three-bedroom home.
Well, and we're going to discuss that specifically. That's something that's discussed specifically. The part that I don't understand that you're saying, Ray, is that if we ignore it, it's going to go away. I don't see how that's the case.
In due time, it will.
It's
a passing thing.
Who's going to enforce it?
I've seen other banks in the past that we considered of extreme great importance, and it's not a problem now.
Well, I don't know that this is really an importance as far as I'm concerned, but it's definitely coming up in front of the board.
You're right there, and it's definitely something that's different than we've ever faced before because of two or three things. One is the economy,
absolutely,
and the other is the internet.
The biggest reason.
Well, neither one are going away.
No, that's true. I can't argue that.
The housing's picking up some, so some of these houses,
well, like 2% over the last 18 months.
But even at that, where we live, people, it's not like they're going to Boss, where I grew up, and they want a vacation there, except for Steve. But for the most part, people want to come here.
Well, I know.
That's what
I know they do. And I want them here, but they stay in a motel, not come next door to somebody's house. And the neighbors don't even know who's there or why they're there.
That's, I think, the commission's responsibility when that person comes in to ask for a permit or not.
Special use permit.
A special use permit, whether or not you guys grant that. That's up to you at that point to look at that situation and say, yes, that works. Hey, maybe this 40 acres in the middle of this 250 works fine.
We don't have any reason not to grant it if we adopt these regulations.
You can't grant it. If you...
Yeah, you think it's a blanket granted? No, they still have
no, these regulations absolutely don't give people permission to take that. What it does is it gives consistent
more rules.
What we're going to do with the neighborhood watch parties that's out there now that's organized, that's watching. If I'm gone 2 or 3 weeks watching my house, they don't know who's going to be there and who's not. They know now pretty well who the cars that are around there and the people. But when you open up the...
I don't understand how this opens it up. This does not give blanket approval. All it does is give a set of regulations that they must comply by if the commission approves it.
It opens it up for 30 days if we allow it. What I'm wanting to do is eliminate the first 30.
If there's 500 houses out there that are doing it now, illegally, and we approve this, they're not all of a sudden grandfathered in. They have to come in and ask whether or not, and they have to meet all of these conditions.
They need to be told that they can't rent for less than 30 days like we used to tell them right here at this table.
That is a can of worms that it's up to Bob and his staff where they want to open, but I don't know if we have enough staff to do that.
We don't.
We used to do it.
There's no way.
Not the numbers there is out there now. I understand your point, and I hear you, but even whether we do anything or not, enforcement is a major, major problem.
Like you're saying, they try to enforce it, they'll
come and tell Bob, hey, we've got this night rental going on down the street, and I'm sure they're not committed. Bob's going to say, no, they're not committed. We're going to have to, and you've done that in the past.
And that's how most of these
pretty much the majority that have come in have been a complaint that we've received.
I'll make sure they take down the residents as to whether or not they had any objections to the house next door to them. Being on the nightly rental, night after night after night, they'd object to it.
That is not at all the intent of this. Is to then say that's approved. The intent of this is to say if there's a place where it's compatible, okay, which is the part you're talking about, then these are the regulations you must follow, plus whatever else the commission implies, and it's all consistent and covers everything. It's not where we write a regulation. It's just like if we write a regulation that says you have to have building X amount of tall, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden people can build buildings. They all have to be that tall. It deals with nightly rentals, and us sticking our heads in the sand on it is not going to make it go away.
I'm not saying we should stick our heads in the sand. We should quit approving for anything less than 30 days, and the ones that's out there, we should notify them that they're in violation if they're doing it otherwise.
But I agree with that part of it. The 500, or let's just say it's 500. If we notify off, get on VRBO, HomeAway, all those, and find out who they are, notify them, and then have them come in or enforce it, how in the world is the county going to pay for the enforcement to do that? That's why, I agree it's wrong. They shouldn't be doing it without approval. You and I agree there.
Yeah,
but the fact of the matter is, there's 500 of them that are doing it. If we ask the staff to then go to each one of those and find them, I don't think it's physically possible for you all to handle that. Is that true?
I agree with that. I really do.
The money they're making, every one of them would go to court.
Comes to our attention, just like we're doing right now, we let them know that they're in violation.
Right, but if we have more strict regulations instead of less, then not only are they in violation, but this is what they would have to do, plus get approved to do all that. This in no way, by writing these regulations,
this is not a blanket
approval.
It's not a blanket approval.
No, it's not. But it opens up for them to have.
They're already doing it.
To rent for less than 30 days. That's what I want to eliminate.
Well, we've really allowed nightly rental since 2009, though. It is the problem I see, and to allow it for this three, four-year period, and then suddenly say it's no longer allowed.
And I've been against it all the time, even though we've been doing it.
Well, I mean, that certainly you're right as a representative of your area. To vote no if you don't feel it's right.
But
to not cover the regulations, I feel like is irresponsible on our part to not get specific as possible so we do cover, because it's hard to get all of that every time we're sitting up there making the rules, so to speak, or every time we handle these one by one if we don't have regulations down. So the thought behind this is to actually have regulations
more criteria
in place
to actually go with
if you so choose that it's a good one to vote yes on. Plus, the nice thing is I believe on a lot of these, it says whatever else the commission may add. It leaves it open to the commission to add more regulations if they choose to do so, but these are the minimums. But it's going to happen. It's happening. Not going to. It is happening.
And the economy is forcing it. And our location as far as vacation times are forcing it.
And I bet it's happening down by your house.
No doubt. No doubt about that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, if you're on the lake, it's happening.
I'm not on the lake.
Well,
I own three sites around.
You know what I'm saying. Me. But you know what I'm saying. It's happening somewhere.
My neighbor called me this summer. He's going to be gone 3 weeks. He lives a quarter of a mile away from me. Tell me he's going to be gone. He want me to kind of watch his house.
Right.
Now, if that house was on a nightly rental, I couldn't tell who's going to be there and who's not going to be.
Well, but under the, and you know what? Under the regulations today, you're right. But under the new regulations, local 24-hour representative, and then it's, we've got a whole page on that right there. That covers that thing exactly.
Are we going to take that?
We haven't been enforcing that.
Well, we certainly wouldn't enforce it if it's not in there.
We approved one that the guy lives in Washington, Missouri, and he rents it over the internet. He ain't even down here.
Well,
which we had one out of Oklahoma.
And with our regulation, not today, he doesn't. But with what some of the things we've proposed here, he would have to.
Well, and some of them that we have agreed, we have put in as a stipulation, right. They had to have a local person.
Right.
Somebody to know yes. 24 hours
to enforce it.
Well, we can't enforce it if it's not in here.
Well, one of them that we done, there was a woman at Poverty Point that wanted to do it. We didn't do it, but there was a woman that had a company out of Springville that was handling that as far as going around and looking at all of her other properties.
Yeah, I don't recall that, but we did not agree to that.
No, we didn't agree to it. That's what the...
That's not close enough.
I guess what I'm saying is we can't enforce what we don't have written down.
Right.
You know, so today...
But, and I agree, and I see both of your sides. But I've sat on this before, and I've seen things where we say, okay, and I've heard it from staff before, if we just had some more and increased regulations, we could make it work. And it hardly ever really comes out that way. We've got more regulations. That's like that one at Poverty Point. We're assuming they don't rent anything on this day.
You know,
the only way to find out is if you get a neighbor
here. Well, yeah, and that's so we're right back to square one there on that.
Well, and so, it all reverts back to I'm not having enough staff, and the county's not going to have any.
No, they're not going to have any. No, you live.
Somebody
play them what's dealt you.
And the bulk of the time, I mean, if it is something, I mean, we're seeing, you know, time and time again, if it is something where it's becoming an issue, there's normally a complaint that's filed at some point.
Oh, yeah. It takes a while, but it generally comes to the surface.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got it. There's a lot of work. There's 20 cars going out, there's this or there's that.
Yeah.
And then you can pursue it and go.
Yeah.
And well, why don't we eliminate the bed and breakfast? Because in most places, bed and breakfast, it's right in the house where the people live.
The only reason that I took bed and breakfast out of this is there's a different heading just specifically for bed and breakfast is the only reason.
And it's not
just a conflict with that.
It actually is. If it has it's a certain number of bedrooms.
I'm all for less regulations, Dave. No doubt about that. You and I agree on that. But in this case, they're just nothing.
Sometimes we just have to look at the reality of things and do the best we can.
Right. I mean, we are going to have to deal with this. We're in a place where people want to be, which is a great thing. You know, hopefully they can.
And this problem may last a year or two, or it may last for many years, or it may go away, you know.
I'll tell you, it's a big deal down on, you know, to rent over the internet like VRBO like down in, where on the Gulf Coast, Gulf Shores. North Beach, where all the condos are. And I've done it for 12 years. Now, it's all legal and all that stuff, but it hasn't gone away in 12 years, and I don't think it's going to go away in 12 more.
It possibly may not.
It's going to get bigger.
And because people can eliminate the middleman to be able to sell.
At least these is houses. I know a woman down at
Theodosia. Well, they could be condos.
No, I know a woman down at Theodosia who's got three trailer houses she rents nightly.
Yeah.
It could be that here. You know,
the houses are pretty nice.
I mean, I know what we're thinking of mostly is a stick-built house in the middle of a subdivision. Right? I mean, that's the example you're using. And that is certainly one we've dealt with because that's where most of the complaints are going to be hearing from.
That's
but it
right.
could
that's
be a condo. It could be the example I gave you, which was that's exactly what we did. We rented it online and went up there, and it was in the middle of their own 200-acre farm, and they had 40 acres set aside for that.
Well, I see condos and these developments where they built these little cabins individually.
He was cattle.
I see that more as a business.
They make turkey calls.
Commercial than I do a residential.
Stable
family home.
But
you may be reminded me of a place up there that I know about it.
I'll talk to you about that.
Okay.
But this, what I would like to do is deal with this page by page if you're all willing to do so. I understand that you're philosophically against it, and you certainly don't have to vote to send it on. That's your choice.
I'll express my opinion, and that's.
Yeah.
Well, you have a vote. Vote how you feel. We're not going to throw rock at you.
But what I'd like to do is get a document.
But I'm very much opposed to turning a resident into a motel.
Yeah.
I understand. I'm very much opposed, but I've expressed my opinion, so continue on.
What I'd like to do is go through this document, and if we can, get a document, plus any other changes we've got, if it moves on, and send it to the commission so they can vote on it. Because that's the steps we have to take, right?
Exactly. Yeah, okay. There has to be a recommendation.
Mr. Chairman.
Randy, did you have a question?
I have a question on the terminology, special use permit. Are we considering this a commercial venture? I mean, if you're doing a nightly rental, you're basically acting in similar fashion as a motel. That's commercial.
Well,
and
we're
going to continue to do that for a time period, and we haven't put any limit as far as a time period.
I think the reason they looked at it, and I'm speculating, I mean, I wasn't here at that
time.
Same
question.
But
is it a special use permit?
I think the reason they looked at it as a special use permit was primarily because it doesn't carry on, right or wrong,
it
doesn't carry over to the next property.
It does not go on.
With a special use permit,
it's
exactly right. Every time it sells, right or wrong, and I don't really feel of this. Well,
what that would do,
that brings up another question.
Yeah, I mean, really, that's something that could
we
put
that
would do, that would eliminate going into these subdivisions.
But what can keep somebody from doing five or six
of these in a
row?
Subdivision and turn it into commercial.
You're doing a commercial business. Even though you're getting a special use permit,
the flat and the whole
but
thing
you're actually setting up a business.
Well,
it's a business.
Taking the persons over there,
right?
Yeah,
as long as you meet all the guidelines. But they're actually doing the same business as a motel or anything else. They're only limited.
We're going to talk about because I've got a question about special use permits, and it's on the second page of this.
Okay.
So when we get there, let's talk about that specifically.
Let's go.
You're going to choke me, but. The copy that I set out, I've actually amended a couple things. I've just amended what's highlighted.
Okay, so on the first page, did everybody get an opportunity to read this?
Yeah.
Okay. And of course, page one is just what exists currently.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, so now, we're going to go to page two.
Okay.
Does anybody have any questions about the definition, nightly rental? We're defining it. Okay, I'm going to move on then. Under 4.7, any thoughts or questions on that? Just 4.7, not 4.71. And I'll give you all a little bit. I made some notes, so I just jumped through. I don't want to go too fast, but on the other hand, I'm going to wait for everybody's.
You want to talk about the notes while you're at it?
I just want to do them one by one, if that's okay.
Right.
That way we don't. 4.71 is on occupancy. Does anybody have any questions on 4.71?
Why do we allow 20 people in?
How do we police that?
That's my question. Can we drop that?
That's going to be the hardest thing.
There's no way to police it.
About the only way that we really could is just strictly based on how they advertise it. Like you said, it'd be really hard.
Yeah.
We can't really go in.
Well, you should be able to have some regulation through cooperation between governmental agencies here in the county. In other words, if they're doing this, they should be paying tax on it, and there should be some record. But we've never had the best of cooperation between agencies and the county, to the best of my remembrance.
Sales tax? Mm-hmm. So you can tell by the amount of money?
Yeah, how many they charge tax for. That's a starting place. That's not the...
When you rent one of these, they're not rented on a per-person basis. They're rented on a lump sum for the whole thing.
Yeah.
So based on that, there is no figures out there that you could police how many people are going
to... Well, other than what Bob said, or the advertisement. And you might also be able to look at the amount of bedrooms plus the living room and get an idea. If you got a four-bedroom plus a living room times two, that's five times two, that's ten. You know what I'm saying? 10 people.
But you know and I know that these groups come in there.
Sure.
And anywhere that there is an area about 5 or 6 feet long and about 3 feet wide, that's a bedroom.
Yeah.
On some of these groups. I mean, you know, they bring a bunch of church kids in there, you know, and put them all in sleeping bags in the living room floor.
Right.
Well, one thing that's going to help, I don't know that it'll eliminate it. I mean, we've also got them. Now, getting them to do this may be another thing, too.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm kind of jumping ahead, but we've got them basically listing the number of people that are in the house now, whether or not they'll actually do that.
What if you mentioned something earlier, so what is your concern?
Limit the occupancy to be compatible with what the sewer will handle, what it's a two-bedroom home, you're only limited. You can only stuff so many people comfortably and safely, but what happens if the thing catches fire?
Yeah.
And you got 40 people in a two-bedroom home.
Well, and
you're right.
They're creating their own safety hazard. So
they are.
So let's limit the occupancy based on the structure itself and the compatibility with sewer.
Yeah. We do this.
Well,
parking space.
And we've been trying to do that on the ones that we've been voting on and stuff
now,
like
most
that. Keep them in compliance.
They bus a bunch of kids. They're basically going to go to a motel or a camp. They're not looking for a small nightly rental.
That was an example, but that's exactly a good example.
And that's how we've tried to propose this here. We've told them that the max would be two people per the dwelling unit. So if you had a house, it would be the two people, and then two people per bedroom. But then that occupancy might be further restricted exactly by what you said, based on the parking, the wastewater requirements, and also the fire district.
So we've got all that in here. Okay.
The fire district may, here's the other thing, and this is a little further down, but in talking to the fire district, they'll come up with an occupancy number as well. And my hope was that they would give us their occupancy number before they even came before you guys. So I could say, look, the fire district said that the occupancy is no more than this.
Okay, so you know. So maybe this sentence right here that says, I think it's sentence number two, starts with the maximum occupancy shall be further limited based upon the capacity of the wastewater treatment system serving the nightly rental, off-street parking requirements, and local fire district occupancy limits, whichever is lesser.
That may be a good, yeah, that is a good.
Because, I mean, you said it'd be further limited, but you didn't say we would assume lesser would mean limited. Something like that. Does that work for everybody? Because so they could have six in a two-bedroom, but if the fire department says they can only have five, then that limits it to five. Now, his next sentence talks about the maximum occupancy of a single-family residential nightly rental dwelling unit shall not exceed 20 persons. So let's just say, in theory, they've got a 10-bedroom house. A true 10-bedroom house. That would be 22 per your thing here, but you're saying all you can do is 20. Do you want to limit that to less than that? And more than that? Right there at that? That's the one question.
How many 10-bedroom homes have you seen?
Well, we had one in here about...
Had an 18,000 square foot house in here.
We denied that one.
Yeah, I mean, that was $1 million structure the guy couldn't sell. He used it as a party house, basically. That's what I'm getting at. If we leave 20 people in there,
I don't think he even
had 10 bedrooms. That just sounds like weird.
I think he had people
to have
five.
That's what I think, five or six.
So what? A good example is the small structure there off T Highway. Basically where that one's going.
Yeah.
But there's problems with that, but if he comes back and says, well, your code says we can have a maximum of 20 people, regardless if the wastewater handles it or the parking.
But this denotes that. This paragraph makes it very clear that if it does not pass wastewater and parking, you can't have that.
You can't have that. But if it passes all of those, my question is to you guys, if it passes all of those items, and they can have, let's say, 28, let's just say that's what all the... What do you want to limit it to as the maximum? No matter how many they can have.
I don't think you can have a limit on it.
No, I don't.
So...
Criteria, that's, you've got to meet this criteria.
The other criteria is the limiting factor, right? Well, I hear that, and I hear that you do want to have a limit on it. So, and right now we have a limit of 20 written in there.
And I'll be honest, I just pulled the 20 out of another set of regs.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, I mean, it makes any difference.
I'll be honest with you, I don't care one way or the other.
I don't think the 20 could, I don't think you have a max.
Yeah.
If you take, if somebody took an old hotel, say, and they're living in it, and supposed to be nightly or whatever they want to do. But if it's got a 20 bedrooms, you've got 40 people plus two. I don't know that you really have a limit, total limit on it. But you're not ever going to have that many anyways. Like you're saying, there's only going to be 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom houses out here trying to be the same.
Majority.
And you're going to regulate that by the sewer and by the fire department.
Because per this code here, they will tell you what your maximum will be.
That's exactly right.
And see, I've really got them going to the fire department
prior
to coming before the planning commission instead of coming after. Yeah. And then that way we're getting some type of occupancy number from them as well at the front end.
And they still don't have to do it. We're just requiring it. That's the problem. There's no way to please it.
So let me ask you as a group, do you want, if you're for placing a maximum occupancy on a single-family residential, not what it is yet, just if you're for having that sentence in there, raise your hand.
I'm for having a maximum on this.
Yep. Okay. A maximum on, and how are you going to find that criteria? How are you going to decide? Just a total of 20?
I'm not going to ask you the number yet. I just want to know if you want to have that sentence in there. That way we can just vote on it. Who wants to have that sentence in there about having a maximum?
I think there should be a maximum.
2, 3. Who does not want to have that in there?
I think it'll be determined by other factors.
Right. Okay. 1, 2. Ronnie, you didn't vote. Ray, are you both abstaining?
I'm abstaining.
What, you're abstaining?
Right now.
Well, I need to know now. You're abstaining?
I think there ought to be a maximum one.
You think there ought to be a maximum? Okay, well, that's 4 to 2. So, then what, right now the number we've got in there is 20. Do you all want to leave it at 20 for a maximum? Do you want to lower it?
I think that number.
If you want to lower it or up it, then I need to hear
number. I think that number or some number are to be left in there, just for these people that's doing the rent.
Where you get the 20 figure?
We put a number in there.
But the number is
a set of regs. Somebody else's county regulation.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it was the Colorado county's regs.
The fire department says you have 5. That doesn't mean you put 20 in there. That means you can put 5. Because whichever is lesser, but. The question here is that no matter what your number is, if it's 37, we're going to say you can only put 20 as of right now. Is that the number you all want to leave in there, or do you want to change that number to something different?
Now that I think about it, it might be better off just to let the other regulations
absolutely
stipulate how many people are in there rather than put a maximum.
So you're going to go 3-3 on the deal?
You change your mind. Well, I mean, that's
okay. I understand that. Okay. It's already set now.
The most common family coming to do a nightly rental, and when with your experience of people that's doing it already, how many people are coming? There's a family coming. I mean, different situations that come. They may be coming doing business for a week and then leaving or whatever. Or they're not using a motel. I don't know. Maybe this is cheaper, but. For various reasons.
Sometimes it's family reunions. Sometimes it's 2 or 3 families that go together that like each other a lot, that go together to rent the house because it's cheaper. And so, I'd say 8 to 12 is probably pretty common.
I'd say
12 is pretty common.
Well, that's a whole lot less than 20. Let's put the maximum 12 people. Now you're more compatible. I mean, and then base it on this other, whichever is lesser.
As a group, we should vote on that.
How are you going to override that when you have the facilities for more than that?
You and I agree. That's what we're going to vote. You and I agree, actually.
I've got about Rick's
If you've got a house that big,
I think the other regulations ought to put.
Okay, well then let's go back because we've had a vote changed. And I'll ask you guys, you two one more time if you want to abstain. If you're for removing, we're on page one, it's pretty clear. If you're for removing the sentence, the maximum occupancy sentence, if you just don't want it in there, because all of the other regulations will take care of that, that's the way that
I think it ought to be removed.
If you don't want it in there at all, and let the regulations take care of the maximum, which may be 37 and may be 4.
Right.
Just depends on what.
If you say 20, they're going to have 20 people.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Oh, man, we put 20 in there.
Yeah.
Even though it's regulated because of bedrooms and sewer for 4.
Well, that'll be very clear, I would hope.
But you see what I'm saying?
They're going to
see that 20. That's all they're going to see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No. But, okay. So who's for removing that? I'm pretty sure you're not.
I'm for having the maximum.
Okay. I know you are. Okay. So who's for removing that?
I am.
1, 2, 3. Who's for having the maximum in there? 1. I know you're abstaining. I understand. I know why. That's fine. I sure would like to have.
Go ahead.
I'll tell you what, Ray, I know you're against it, and I want that on the record, but I sure do value your opinion. So I'd like to hear what you have to say about it.
It don't really make sense to vote at the end, have it in there if you're putting it the way you're going to word the sewer.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I see that.
If we do pass it on, like you've done it. Well, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. If we're going to have it, I'd go for a maximum.
Okay. So we've got 1, 2, 3 that don't want the maximum. And we've got how many that would like to have a maximum? 1. Is anybody else going to vote?
1.5.
I don't see that it now. But I don't know.
I'll make this easy. If one of you don't understand, I'm going to vote that we don't have a maximum.
Okay.
Okay, I mean, I don't vote unless there's a tie. But everybody's...
Does the nuisance ordinance override this?
No, it's already been voted out.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't really have a nuisance ordinance now.
I sat in a meeting here a year ago.
It had a sunset.
Yeah, it sunsetted.
I didn't know unfortunately, but I didn't know.
County Commission.
Okay, bins were not putting a maximum on it.
Okay.
Can we strongly word it?
What would you like to add? Sure. I mean,
I want to base it strictly on bedroom and don't frame from that. Clearly worded in there. Have your number of people per bedroom.
And you don't want to add, because the way we've got it now is the number, we have 2 people per bedroom plus 2 persons per dwelling unit. So like a roll-out couch in the living room.
I'm fine with that as long as it's adequate for safety wise and the sewer.
And that's very plain here, I think.
And part of it.
That's parking too.
That's all, as long as they meet all that criteria.
That's all in there already.
Yeah, that's, I agree.
I would add
that's
that
exactly how it's written.
Yeah.
I'd add that or less.
Or whichever
is less.
Yeah, and at the end of that, what I suggested we add was whichever is the least of those limiting factors. So if one says you can have 8, but sewer only says you can have 6, you can only have 6.
Well, when we actually approve the thing, if we do approve whatever would come up in front of us, when we approve it, then we can put that stipulation of how many people's in there.
If you've already got it in writing, it's already.
Well, I mean, based on this.
What we've been doing is stipulating.
I mean, they're going to show us this floor plan or whatever. They got a 3-bedroom house and a family room. All right.
So you're just going to take occupancy out of this?
Do what?
I don't understand. If it's in writing and there's already a formula in place.
But we can clearly state to the individual when he's applying how many people he can actually have.
You know, I'll change this. Just when a new guy comes in, we can actually tell him what he's going to do.
Yeah, based on this. Right,
I come in, and by the way, I have no rental units. I just think that we ought to address this. I think that if I come in and I've got a 2-bedroom place, and you sit there and look at it, then I know after doing the math, the most I'm going to be able to get is 6. Yeah. After I talk to the fire department, and I see my parking, and I see the sewer, then I may only be able to get 4.
Yeah.
But that's not up to you guys. That's up to the codes, the fire department, the parking.
Right.
And it's done.
Well,
now, I don't know what you're suggesting is that.
Well, I'm saying we'd be able to
maybe in...
Say the number of people like that one.
In his permitting process, he might be able to do that, not necessarily at the approval level, because it's already done for you. Right?
Yeah, I agree.
At that time, before Bob sends it on to us, it will say, the fire department only says it can be four people.
Okay.
So it'll be the fire department
says it's only set up for four people.
Exactly.
And that's done.
Yeah.
I feel if we add that or less, and...
And then, this party shows up and they think, well, we've got these kids out here. Can't we just put them in a tent out in the yard, you know, and they can come in and go to the bathroom? This, you're going to have so many variations.
And it's no different now.
No.
I mean, it really is no different than what was happening for the last 10 years.
But it's going to be a struggle. I don't care which way we go.
Right. But if we've got it in writing.
Yeah, that helps.
You can say, well, you had it right here.
I like it in writing, and I like it as simple as possible.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I hate that we're adding four pages to this.
Yeah.
Hey, Rick, are you going to want to define bedrooms? Because you're in the real estate, and I was. Are they going to call it 8x6 room that's in the back with no window a bedroom?
It's not a bedroom if it does not have a window.
Well, I know. I mean, real estate, that's the legal.
I think
we put a window in a closet.
It's got to have a window in a closet. If we want to go ahead and
really have somebody that'll say, well, I can get two beds.
I think we need to have a decoration for beds.
That's a good idea.
Otherwise, there ain't someone to get 12 people in here because I've got all
the
beds.
And the closet has to be this wide and this tall.
Well, there are minimum sizes for a window for sure, right?
Window there is.
I would think so.
I'm not sure there's anything on the closet.
Well, probably. I mean, probably not. He was saying if there were attached
two persons or bedrooms. Plus bedrooms. Okay. Period.
That adds for the two people.
Yeah, so if you've got a whole basement, that's two people. That's it. If there's not a bedroom down there.
That's actually a good idea to add that in there. And I said in the tax information, it says the house is a two bedroom.
It would be nice to actually put it in this part right here, just like you did. Please note the term person for the purpose of establishing occupancy. Well, please note the term bedroom.
Yeah, okay.
And I'll guarantee you it gets in too light.
I don't think it's a bad
And the weather gets warm, and they got all their rooms rented, and they've got people begging for more. They're going to think, we can put them out there in that shed, or we can do this and that. It's happened before. It's going to happen again, but we can't.
But this hopefully gives them a little teeth.
Yeah, hopefully.
Enforcement.
Put them in the girl.
Well, and if somebody's just completely blatant about it, you know, if they were 12 and they put in 30, then we're going to be calling.
Yeah, well, you're going to get calls. And then that would give them the ability to pursue it with our favor. Here's our key list right here.
Yeah.
I'll read it. I see what you got there.
Okay.
The way this is going to read is 4.7.1. Occupancy. The maximum occupancy for a nightly rental should be two persons per dwelling unit plus two persons per bedroom. And then he gives an example. A two-bedroom dwelling unit is permitted a maximum occupancy of six persons.
What do you want to add about the
end?
At the very end.
Yeah. The maximum occupancy should be further limited. So this is the part we talked about. Further limited based upon the capacity of the wastewater treatment system serving the nightly rental, off-street parking requirements, and local fire district occupancy limits, whichever is lesser. Does that make sense to everybody?
Or less. Total limits or less.
What do you suggest we put there instead?
Or less people. Wouldn't you just add that? Or lesser?
Whichever is lesser.
Yeah, whichever is lesser.
That work?
Okay.
And then we eliminated the next sentence. And then it says, please note that the term person for the purpose of establishing occupancy is defined as an individual at least 2 years of age. And then we're going to also add a term, a definition for bedroom, which will include the size of the window and it has to have a closet.
Or based off the tax.
Tax, yes. Right. If it's tax based showing,
that's a good
it's a two bedroom, it's a two bedroom.
That's right.
Okay.
It's based off the tax.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
So that's even.
I don't know how to say that.
Because they can't legally call 8x8. Without a window, a bedroom.
Right.
So if they're calling it a two, then that would be a good criteria.
Okay.
Well, on that tax base, that comes back to the original permit for their sewer occupancy.
Okay. Right, which of course then would tie all that into what they're. Okay. So is everybody at least okay with what we've came up with there?
Yeah.
So move
on. Good to
move on.
Okay. Number two, parking. And from what I understand, this has been changed. So I'm going to read this. right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
One off-street parking space should be provided for each two persons of occupancy in a nightly rental. And then he's added this, right?
Yes.
All nightly rentals shall provide clearly marked and appropriately situated parking spaces for the handicapped with a minimum of one such space in each parking area. Then back to the other. No more vehicles shall be parked on the property than there are designated off-street parking spaces. Inability to provide the required off-street parking will reduce the permitted occupancy. A site plan shall be submitted with an application for a nightly rental special use permit which identifies the location of the required off-street parking.
Could I explain the addition just really quickly?
Yes.
The only reason I added this is I've been speaking to the Branson Lakes Area Lodging Association, who's drawn a blank on the name. And one of the concerns they had was that I didn't bring up anything about ADA requirements. And basically our regs, I just pulled this directly out of our current parking requirements. So it's already in the parking requirements. I just thought I'd reiterate it in the nightly rental section.
Which this, you know, the parking kind of reiterated what we've already talked about in occupancy, which is fine.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions, concerns, or changes that you all would like to make to 4.7.2?
I'm good.
Okay.
Is there a defined size as far as what you consider one parking space?
That's already defined in another area, I think, isn't it, Randy?
It's already been, okay.
Yeah, there's a parking section,
Okay. 4.7.3, solid waste disposal. Any questions? Comments about that? Okay, I'm going to move on. 4.7.4, lighting. Any questions about that? That's pretty common on our decisions mm-hmm. record that he puts in there.
Mm-hmm.
4.7.5, signs.
Couldn't they get a little more specific on that?
Yeah, I was wondering about that myself. So who gives sign permits? You guys?
I do.
And about the only thing I don't even know if it's necessary, to be honest with you. We really just permit off-premise signage. And so
that's right. That's all we permit, and you're allowed on your own premise. You're allowed to four-bait.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I don't know. I didn't know the feel of the group, but I don't know.
I wasn't quite clear on that. In other words, they could actually have a sign that was nailed to their house. Not a rental.
They can have a 4x8 out in the yard.
It's on their property.
Yeah, but they can't have a sign off-site anywhere in Taney County that directs them to that place?
Not without a permit.
No,
without a permit.
But you're saying basically. They don't qualify for a permit.
And no time shall I not leave. You know.
So why not?
Well,
and I'll be honest, I just grabbed this one out of another set of regs, and I don't know that I have a real strong feeling on the signage one way or the other.
I mean, if they get approved for the permit and you think it's fine, why couldn't they have it?
Right.
I think they probably could. Most of them just going to call Garmina anyway.
Yeah.
Who?
Garmina.
Oh.
You ever travel with Garmina?
No.
We don't go anywhere with
I call her Roxy.
Yeah, I suggest we just put
that. Her name is Roxy. So
you want to add something that says without a qualifying permit instead of just no. You want them to be able to have a sign off permit?
At no time shall a nightly rental have a off-site sign without being properly permitted
or something in that way.
I mean, that would be more if you're going to have something on it. Otherwise, I suggest we just strike it completely. Anybody want to leave it in there? Okay, then let's just remove it.
Strike that whole thing.
Yeah,
it's covered by other things.
4.7.6, I've got a suggested change. If y'all don't like it, that's fine. It's just really wording. It says all nightly rentals should contain at least one operable fire extinguisher. I just instead put a minimum of instead of at least.
Yeah, it does have
one.
Also, I probably need more smoke alarms than one, too.
Would that be up to, who regulates that in the fire department?
That's fire department.
But even if they say that, then we're going to require them to have a minimum of one of each of those.
Well, the fire department's going to require them to have a...
We're going to require them to have more.
It depends on which fire district.
Okay, so...
I hate to say that, but it does.
So it may be the fire district.
Who's running it at that point in time?
Because we have to look at Tannehill County as a whole.
Yeah, and that's why I added the where applicable.
Let's add that minimum of, you know, instead of at least, minimum of.
What's that?
Where you're saying it. Let's add the minimum of
instead of at least.
One.
Yes.
Operable.
Yeah, are you okay with changing that from at least to minimum of?
I like that better.
Yeah. Okay.
That is better.
Any other changes on that? Okay. Next one is 4.7.7 fire district compliance. Any concerns or questions there? Okay. 4.7.8 fire district inspection. Any questions or concerns there?
Who gets the fire district to do this? They just set it up on their schedule, or they know to do it, or somebody has to notify them and inspect
them? I'm going to guess that they're going to have this inspection before they can get their certificate.
And yearly, though?
Yearly, or?
And some of the fire districts
are
going to be open to that, and some won't. And that's why I threw in the unless waived by the local fire district. Because honestly, some of the fire districts aren't going to have the personnel to do it.
So we're saying if they don't want to waive it, we're going to require them to be inspected annually.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we can't make the fire districts inspect them.
Yeah. What's going to happen here is they're going to get inspected when they first go to get their permit, and then they'll never be inspected again.
Well, unless it's in the fire. Yeah.
Unless the fire district requires it, and it's required according to our code anyway.
Yeah. Now, if it's down to pro tem, they're probably not going to go down there
with them,
if they ever go.
Where's that?
And there's probably some down there.
Yeah, there's some down there.
I'm guaranteed. Yeah. Theodosia. We're not from Tannehill County, but there's
some. Does anybody want to make changes to that? Okay. 4.7.9 Tannehill County Assessor's Office Compliance. Anybody want to make changes to that?
Good.
Okay. 4.710, Tannehill County Collector's Office Compliance.
That's just standard.
It seems like you already explained that one. Because I actually have a question about it, but I don't anymore. You explained it. So. Okay, same thing with Missouri Department of Revenue Compliance, 4.711. Any questions? Okay. 4.712, Permit Posting.
I got one question, not to go backwards. Is that 4.710?
Well, you are going backwards.
I know. I want to move forward, believe me. But yes. Okay, let me read this again. Emergency license shall be provided by the planning department. Okay, now this is it's given to the planning department after, say, we've approved it.
Before
the wording here looks like you almost got to have it before it's approved.
That's right. You've got to have it before it's permitted.
Yeah,
before we permit.
Yeah, before we give it.
It says right here, the merchant's license shall be provided prior to the issue.
Before they get their certificate of compliance.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the approval of the commission.
Exactly.
But before they can operate.
Before Bob will issue that
and
permit,
okay.
He will have that.
Okay.
And the only way it's termed the way it is the collector's office indicated that they don't require a merchant's license, which unless it's two or more. So if you've got one nightly rental, they don't require a merchant's license, but if you have two nightly rentals, they do.
And I don't understand that.
Because
their regulations don't change.
Yeah.
Well, okay, sorry about that. Keep moving.
Hey, Rick,
it's good to understand.
For special use, I'll call Jim Single over. Ask him if he's got the fire done, and if there's other stipulation, I'll check those before we do the CFC.
Okay.
So, and if we haven't done the CFC, then we got a lot more leverage to shut them off. Is that right, Bob?
because they're really not supposed to occupy the structure until...
Right, although a lot of these we're going to be dealing with are...
men in operation.
Right, but still, they're not supposed to occupy the structure until they get the CFC out. Any other questions?
Nope.
Okay. 4.7.12, I had a question, but I'm not sure it's right or wrong on this, so I'd like to hear your thoughts. First sentence, the nightly rental special use permit shall be posted within 5 feet of the front door. I would think, I don't know how, main entry would be better to me. Some people may not enter from the front door.
Yeah.
Wherever they deem the main entrance.
Main entrance, yes.
Yeah.
Are you all okay with that?
Yep.
Yes,
That's a very good idea there.
Okay, that's the only suggestion I had there.
With all the numbers and stuff.
Are there any others? Anything as far as what we want posted that you all don't like or think there needs to be more added? Okay. 4.7.13, health department compliance. Is a guest room, I think we need to maybe keep that consistent. Are we calling those bedrooms or guest rooms?
Well, the only reason I defined it as a guest room there is that's actually the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services definition. They refer to a guest room. See, they even look at the, I'll give you an example, like if you had a four-bedroom house, but they actually had people sleep in the living room, they would look at that as being five guest rooms. And so they would say...
Well, then I think you're going to have to somehow define guest rooms.
Yeah.
Because I would look at this not knowing and go, five guest rooms must mean five bedrooms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When really it's four bedrooms.
Yeah. We're going to have the same wording.
Yeah. And they define...
Like from the tax, I mean, just note bedrooms.
That's what I was wondering, too. And yeah, their definition is that they look at a guest room as a room in which one or more guests sleep. So... They don't care whether it's a bedroom or the living room.
Well, then I suggest you add a definition for guest room at the end of this.
Okay.
And be very specific, which will include a common room where one or more guests sleeps, not necessarily a bedroom.
Yeah, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that make sense to everybody? This next one, Randy, is the one where that specifically deals with special use permitting, or at least that's why I wrote it down here. So I just wanted to, if there's nothing else on that, we'll move on to 4.7.14 on ownership. And you were discussing the special use permit before, so I'll just turn that over to you if you have any comments.
You're on
4.7.14.
Okay, ownership.
And, you know, a nightly rental special use permit is issued to a specific owner of a property if the property holding a nightly rental special use permit is sold to an unrelated third-party owner. The special use permit shall immediately expire, and the new owner shall make application for a new nightly rental special use permit.
And that's really the way it is now, but... It's just not spelled out. It's spelled out under special use permits, but it's not spelled out specifically under nightly rental. I just thought that would add a little clarification.
If it changes hands, it goes away.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the way it's set up today.
That's the way that it
is. In other words,
what's going to happen is...
Unrelated, if the father dies and leaves the place to his son, he doesn't have to come back.
I believe technically...
Thank you.
Change ownership. I don't know what the unrelated means.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't know why it's in there.
Yeah.
That's the way it's worded from someplace else, I think, but I don't know what it means in this paper.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Yeah, that really burns out the can of worms.
I would just take all that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Uncle Ray might sell me his place. That's so... Might.
That is a good point.
I think it ought to be after sold.
Yeah.
Then the next party. Just that first two sentences up to sold.
And this is read.
Yeah.
The same thing it says in special use permit. We just.
Yeah.
So we're moving to an unrelated third party owner. That's what the suggestion is to remove those words.
Yeah.
Correct? Okay. Does anybody disagree with that? Because I got these worms, I'm getting ready to open, but I'll try to keep it free.
Yeah, this says the special, sold, the special use permit shall immediately expire.
Yeah, just do it with all that. Okay. Almost that whole thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be sold, it could be inherited. It still has to be. Maybe sold is not a big word.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Sure. Just
yeah. A good indication would be if it changes.
What are you doing here?
The way it is registered as the land of sale. Well, in other words, it goes into a different ownership, then it's going to come under review. Yeah. Right, if then. It's in the same family, they're not going to do that.
Yeah, the sold should be something. Other than sold, it should be like if it changes.
You need an appointment.
Yeah. There you go. You got it. Change of ownership, not sold.
Is there something specific, Dan, that you want to speak on tonight?
No, I just actually been working a little bit on the budget. Thought I'd come up.
Okay.
I knew you was having a meeting.
We are. It's mostly specifically about nightly rental stuff and some of that code stuff. But of course, we're open to the public if you want to. You're welcome to.
That's the reason I got you boys on there to make that decision.
All right, then. Good enough for me.
Thank you for asking anyway, but just thought I'd stop down by and see what I was going on.
We're arm wrestling over, but we're getting somewhere. That's a good thing. So, we took out sold.
Yeah.
So, what does this read like now? If the property holding a nightly rental special use permit
changes ownership.
The special use permit shall immediately expire.
Right.
And the new owner shall make application for a new nightly rental special use permit.
Right. Now it covers sold or inherited or anything else.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay. Now I've got a question.
Okay.
Is there a specific reason why these have to be special use permits?
I think, and this is just, like I said, I'm just speculating on this, sure. But I think the reasoning behind it, if it's a full-fledged, what they refer to as Division 3, it's looked upon as a change in use to a commercial use. And once it's changed, it's basically looked upon
as commercial, from there on out.
Okay. You want a real quick answer from that, really and truly? I mean, yeah. I'm not, the real quick answer to your question for this last part goes back to the preceding part. So it will go away. And we don't have something hanging out there that's going to be a slapping us in the head every once in a while.
You mean if it was changed to commercial?
That's right.
So it's easier
It's very easy for the commission to control and keep a handle on it. And
every time it changes ownership, No big deal.
That's my feeling.
No, I don't have a feeling one way or the other. I just wanted to ask to see how everybody else felt.
Well, I think that's why it was done that way originally, best I remember. And it seems to, in that aspect, the whole thing has worked well, I think.
Okay.
And exactly what he said, the only other difference that it really spells out is with a special use permit, you're not supposed to use that to establish compatibility or non-compatibility.
That's a good point.
Where if it's commercial, once something's commercial, you can say, well, we've got a new commercial proposal. It's compatible with that existing commercial proposal.
Okay.
Matter of fact, at one point in time, there were things being put in this county and went through planning and zoning just so that they could establish compatibility to do something else. As strange as it may seem, but it was done.
Okay, everybody want to move on?
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm going to move on, but I want to tell you, I did want to just say this. Appreciate the dedication you gentlemen have for this job and the stress that it can put you under. I know that you go through a lot of the same forms of stress that I do with my job. And to volunteer and be a part of it is not unnoticed by the county commission. And so on that, I'm saying goodbye. I've got hearings in the morning.
Thank you. Okay, 4.715, local 24-hour representative. And I'm pretty sure that A, B, C, and D all deal with that. So if you all want to take a minute and read that and see if there's anything that you want to add, delete, or change, let me know. So just let's take a minute or two and read that. Make sure it's fresh in your mind. Okay, before we get to A, the opening paragraph there, I've got one question, but does anybody else have any questions or thoughts on that?
I'm good with A, B, C, and D. I'm going to step out.
Okay. The one question I've got is actually the last sentence. The local representative shall maintain a residence or permanent place of business within a distance of 20 miles. The 24/7 is perfect. 20 miles, I don't know.
I was going to ask about that.
We kind of deal with that in the complaints section down here. The whole idea for them being 20 miles away is to be available.
Yeah. Respond on a timely basis.
And we deal with that in C.
Yeah.
You know, where they respond in a timely manner. I understand that, you know, we want to keep them, I think we ought to have a number on there to keep it local. But if you do have somebody approach him, you know, that means they can't have a management company in Branson.
Yeah.
Where it's more likely going to be.
And so...
So do we have a number in there?
I don't think we need.
Each
I mean, with the communication we have nowadays and everything, and it spells out right there. If you contact this representative and they don't respond, you done got problems. I don't care where they're.
I think one of the concerns that the commission's had in the past is that it is somebody local and not somebody on the phone from Alabama or India. So what do you want to do to establish locality? That's my question.
I don't know.
Available on a timely basis or something like that? Rather than something, some wording rather than miles.
Right.
Yeah.
Within an hour, I don't know.
I thought about that response time, and I don't know that.
within an hour's drive of the location.
Well, that's 20 miles. Or...
Well, it may be 20 miles.
In some locations.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Response time could possibly be a handle on it. I don't know.
Reasonable response time?
Yeah, something on that order.
Well, we talked about the reasonable response time. We talked about here. Yeah, I'm more concerned about how do you establish somebody being local.
Yeah.
What's local? Is local St. Louis? Is local Springfield? Is local Branson? Is local the house next door? What is local?
Any county.
Well, then you can't have anybody in Springfield.
But it might be closer to have somebody in Arkansas in a few places.
Yeah, you'd be over here on the lake and have somebody in Stone County a lot closer to your place. Right,
so I don't necessarily, I mean, I get the mile radius, but
yeah.
I don't know if 20 is too small.
Too vague, too, yeah.
Let's go local area, maybe a response time of 30 minutes.
Well, that won't get you protein from Branson.
Huh?
That won't get you protein from Branson.
Not in a safe and responsible manner.
No kidding. Yeah. It's an hour for me to the elbow road from my house.
Every bit. Depending on the time of year.
Well, 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
I got to stop Wake Ray up on the way.
30 yeah, minutes from where the crow flies.
You been down there this year?
Yeah.
Hadn't been much going on. How do you want to establish local? I don't understand how to do that.
I don't either.
Bob, how do others do that? Have you noticed?
The local representative must be in the 20 miles or surrounding counties. I don't know.
Joining.
Somebody's going to come up with this to try to keep it close.
That would pretty well carry it.
Yeah.
Well, somebody.
So.
Or close proximity.
Yeah.
County.
Somebody in
close proximity to.
Did you hear what Carol?
Well, if you're over Theodosia, you're talking Ozark County.
Or adjoining counties.
That's an hour and a half drive.
Well,
okay, that's good.
But not from over there.
Yeah. But I mean, we somehow at least establish locality. Yeah. They're not going to be in Indiana. They're not going to be in Alabama. They're
going to
be close.
Exactly.
Could be in Carroll County.
I agree with you. I think that pretty well limits it.
Yeah. So we're scratching the 20 miles out of
it. Yeah, close.
Scratch 20 miles and put Pinckney County or adjoining county.
Okay.
I mean, that'd do away with Springfield, but there's not going to be many leasing companies out of Springfield running anything down here.
Is that okay with everybody? Yeah. If we change the 20 miles to...
I don't know how any other way you change it other than that.
But that's the best idea I've heard.
We've got it written in there if they have a problem getting response, we can
revoke
their license.
Exactly.
So if they don't respond to complaints or other...
All this really does is if they pick this up and they're thinking about doing it the right way, and, you know, then they can read that and go, okay, this is the things I have to do. And I have to have that person that's in Taney County or adjoining county. It can't be somebody... I can't be my aunt in Gulf Shores that already runs one.
Yeah, and scratch out business within Taney County or adjoining county.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I maintain a residence or permanent place of business in Taney County or an adjoining county.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay. And remove within a distance of 20 miles.
Yeah. I like it.
From the nightly rental. I mean, you don't need that either.
No.
But you do need to, and shall be available.
Shall.
Okay. Anything else on A or B or C or E?
Does that need to be twice on D?
You would need to add it again in there somehow. I wouldn't think so. That time and manner pretty well covers that, likely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't think so. But do you want to add it?
Twice during the year? No, I don't think they'd be in there.
Oh, you're asking about twice during the year. You think that's the right number? Is that your suggestion? During a 12-month period? I mean, instead of a year? What is a year? A calendar year? 12
that's
months for the first time?
Well, this is just merely saying if there's a problem at the residence and the sheriff's department can't get hold of a representative.
Right.
You know.
Twice.
Well, at some residents, they could be a lot more trouble than just twice a year. It could be once a week.
Well, the thing about it is, though, this puts the thing in there to where it gives us something to work with in case they are not established to make contact. You don't know how many times a year it's going to be, but this gives us step B.
Right.
Yeah. It goes to step B and you move on.
I like that better too.
I don't like the, what I'm getting at, I don't think the twice start to be in there. Twice during a year.
Well, anybody can have it once. I mean, what if...
This says more than twice.
What if the representative is having a baby? What if, you know, I mean, it could be anything. I mean,
you got to get more than once.
This says more than twice.
You're right, it does.
So that actually gives you, if you want to get technical, you're on your third strike.
It really gives you three.
Or more. than twice is
okay.
20.
So what we've got is...
So this is another one of those deals you're not going to be able to police in.
Yeah. No, but it gives you, like Dave's already said, it gives you an opportunity to pursue it if you choose to do so.
Well, that gives our department a place where they can start.
Right.
This is where you take step one.
We can say, listen, this, we've had them out here three times.
This is it.
So how do you want that to word that? Do you want to leave more than twice during a 12-month period? Do you want to leave it two times during a 12-month period? Do you want to leave it three times during a 12-month period? What do you want in there?
Suits me.
Two times.
You want two times.
That's what I don't want more than twice during a year. So it'd have to be worded.
So the suggestion is?
The second time you're in trouble.
Two times during a 12-month period.
Yeah, doesn't matter. However you want to word it.
So take out more than?
More than.
Take out more than.
That's right.
Okay, so remove more than, change year to 12-month period. Okay? Anything else? Okay, I don't know if everybody has this. Is this on everybody? I don't know if it is, but 4.7.16 is required buffering. Is that new?
Yeah, and the only reason I threw that in is we seem to always, I mean, that's something that's readily discussed, and I realized I didn't have anything on it.
So we've added a buffer shall be established between any structure utilized for nightly rentals and any existing residential land use meeting the requirements of stuff we already have in our code now. So we're basically reiterating our code in this part. This is the only part they get, so they know. Okay. Any problems with that? Okay. 4.717. Additional conditions. The Taney County Planning Commission may, at their discretion, impose additional conditions or stipulation that it deems necessary. In other words, this does not lock us into only this. We can add other stipulations and conditions if we want to or deem necessary.
But we can't put a deal in there where we can add less if we think it's a...
Well, that's where they have to go to the Board of Adjustments.
They have to go to Board of Adjustments on that.
So if for some reason... If they can go to the Board of Adjustment and ask for that, then that's where they would go, right? Okay. 4.718, compliance. Any questions or thoughts on compliance? Okay. 4.719 is new, I believe.
I mean, the only reason I added this one, I don't know. I'd let me get the commission's feel on this one as well. One of the recent applications that was denied by the Planning Commission, they're appealing that denial. And they're appealing that denial based on the fact that they're saying they were operating prior to 2009 when the nightly rental regulations were originally adopted. And so they're basically saying they were grandfathered.
Okay. Just have them come up with their tax records and show where they've paid for everything before that period of time, and they have been in full compliance up until the time before that, and then we'll take it under advisement.
We won't.
No, but I mean, you tell them we will, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I would tell them. I mean,
I mean, the Board of Adjustment. Right?
Exactly. And there's been no documentation provided at this point, but I guess that's the only thing that prompted this. I don't know if...
Documentation causes them to go like this sometimes.
Exactly.
Sales tax.
Exactly.
Before 9. Mm-hmm. Ain't happening. More than likely.
you think?
Well, even at that, you had a definition of nightly rental established, not nightly rental, but monthly rental established, right?
They probably collected.
2009 was not when you added the less than 30 days, correct?
I'm going to research it some more, but I think it's what it was.
I can get after him on that. You know, you ask for those records and that, where they paid taxes on the
land. So I guess what he's doing is he's doing a little just CYA on this deal. Not your rental law, residential structure, should require the issuance of a special use permit. Does anybody have a problem with having that in there?
Leave it in.
Okay. 4.7.20, revocation. Any questions?
Nope.
I catch filled out.
Okay. 4.7.21 is what that's supposed to be.
Yeah, and I started to warn you some of them. Don't say 2.0. Okay.
Limitation of liability. Well, that's basically, you know, the part, and they do all the drug commercials where the lawyers start to talk about it.
You got a copy of that?
This? Yeah, right here, right?
It's on the very last picture. It's fine.
I got it on mine.
Well,
he may not got it on
the sheet. I don't have a sheet compared to the one that we were using.
18 on that. Take a look at both of those and make sure you don't have any thoughts or changes on that. Well, Ray's looking at that. I know most of the rest of you looked at that. Is there anything else? Because we've looked at changes and deletions. Is there anything else that you think we need to add? Okay. Hearing no comments on that, I would entertain a motion to send this on to the commission as the changes were made. Because what we have to do is send our suggestions for proposed amendments to the commission to approve or not approve. First step is to send the documentation to them.
I'd make a motion to send the documents on after the changes that Bob needs to make that we talked about tonight.
I'll second that.
Get that video? Uh-huh. Have a motion and a second. Discussion. For the record, Ray, any discussion?
I got a question, buddy.
Okay. I did. I got the motions. I just didn't know if you wanted to wait down a minute. Okay. All those in favor of sending that on, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
My question is, once it's adopted, I rent a house for 2 months, doesn't apply, right?
That's right. 36 exactly. Or more.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no change in that matter.
And if it's adopted and you enforce it to the letter, you've accomplished what I tried to do with one sentence. Eliminate nightly rental.
That's right.
Well, I haven't accomplished it because there might be places where this is completely compatible. But if you eliminated it, then you couldn't, by law, do it at all anywhere, even if it was completely compatible. And my example is not, you know, my example of the house in the middle of that 240 acres is not, I mean, that's a real one. I stayed there.
Yeah, but
you couldn't do that.
All these regulations. We'll see.
It does apply. I mean, I rented it nightly.
Okay.
But we. You know,
as long as we have these regulations, it's good to go. I mean, it would work here.
I don't want to show you as voting yes if you're going to vote no or abstain. So I'm going to just ask you: How are you voting?
I'll vote no.
Okay. So everybody else voted to send it on, and Ray voted no. Okay. I figured that's what you wanted to show. I just want to make sure. Okay.
Fine.
Okay. So we're going to move that on to the commission. And the second thing won't take near this long.
I hope not. Thank you, guys.
I think it's important that we do something. And so thank you for taking the time to go through all that.
And the second item, what this is, and in all honesty, this is something I should have brought to the Planning Commission quite some time ago. Early on this year, the County Commission amended the commission districts, and so we've got a western district and an eastern district, and it's not been amended by a great deal, but basically I've put in a new map and I've put in the old map, but our co- code book also speaks to a western district and an eastern district. And it appears historically that our western district has always conformed, you know, the two districts have always conformed with the two county commission districts. And so I just wanted to bring this to the planning commission to see. I felt that we should adopt the new map, basically. Right now we have the...
Is there any reason why in our code it can't just... If everybody chooses to adopt the new map of whatever the eastern and western districts are for voting purposes, that it can't just say that, more or less, instead of having a map. And the map's available on page whatever, but not refer to the map itself. Is there a reason why it can't do that? So when they change the district, it automatically changes in our code. Why can't that be the case?
I don't see why we couldn't, to be honest with you. I really don't.
Now, there may be a reason why you all wouldn't want to do that. I don't know what that might be. But
did it change any townships?
It really changed primarily this area north of 465. I don't think any township boundaries were changed.
No.
That I'm aware of.
Like some awful little bitty writing on there.
Yeah, it's hard to see. It's not a real large area. I mean,
it'd be tight.
Yeah, I started to bring in a full-size map of this, too.
So it added a larger area to the eastern district?
Yes.
Because of the population?
Exactly, because you've got a larger population in this area. And so to keep the populations fairly equivalent, basically, the Western District has shrunk in size.
The whole thought about having different regulations is a whole other argument. But the question today is, for Eastern and Western, I mean, the question today is, do we want to have our own map that make that and get it to match? That's one option, right, is to accept the new map and get it to match. My suggestion is to put writing in our regulations that say
it automatically matches.
That's always the easiest way.
Yeah,
that's
and that probably, way when those changes made, you all don't have to do this again. It's just made however you can.
Yeah.
You can change it at any time.
If it doesn't change anything as far as townships go, why would we want to?
That's what they do.
Yeah.
So it's very simple.
So they
literally all it is right now. It's just an appendix.
Yeah, they've added it to the
I don't think that would even apply.
Separate from the working appendix.
No. So it refers to appendix.
They used to tell us that you can't do one thing for one part of the county and not the other part. I mean, as far as different regulations.
I agree. I think they ought to be the same.
Yeah.
But that's a different.
Yeah. That's a different can of worms, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's the only reason I brought this up. Is I think the reasoning behind it was they had to show early on when they created this that they were creating some type of zoning districts.
We won't get shot.
This was, here's the statute.
Okay, so there had to be, since we don't have a typical zoning,
because otherwise you'd have the county as one zoning district. Instead of
there are some subtle differences. Is there any writing?
She paid it for a while.
Or is it just the map that refers to an appendix Q?
I honestly think everything else in the book just says you've got these standards for the Western District, you've got these standards for the Eastern District.
But I'm asking you about the map.
I think that's it. There's no writing. I don't believe so currently.
So the question is, do we want to change Appendix Q map to the new map? That's the real question.
Basically.
To the new map that matches the new districts. There is no writing. I didn't realize that.
Let's do it.
Didn't change the map.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll entertain a motion.
That's what I did, I think.
The motion was like
motion to change the map.
Change the map to match the
new. To match the new one.
The new Eastern and Western districts.
He seconds everything. I didn't second it.
We have a second. Any discussion?
Yeah, I'll second it.
Might have been.
Did I second that?
The guy with the one I got.
Okay, no other discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Anything else? Any other old or new business?
Nope.
What is this about the dog?
They are living.
Can we talk about it? Can we talk about it next week?
Can we hear tonight?
Do you want to bring it up and see? I mean, if it's.
I've gotten a complaint about a specific issue, and that's why I didn't know whether it would be appropriate to bring it up at this time or not.
I think we better do that the next meeting, unless that's you just have to have an answer for us today.
I don't think necessarily. Yeah.
Okay. Since this is a special meeting, just these kind of things.
That's what
you
I'm
want this yellow one?
Hey, is this mine?
It'll be safer.
Okay. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Wait, it's over on you.
Yes, sir. Oh, so we have one or two more things.
Okay.
We do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Right. You got open new business.
Oh, mercy sakes.
And Bonita wrapped this up for you.
You did a fine job.
She did wrap it up for you there.
This is a plaque that Bob came up with. He didn't done us for any money, so he must have paid for it.
Mercy sakes. Okay. Okay, it says certificate of appreciation to Sean Pendleton for his service on the Taney County Planning Commission. Thank you, Sean, for giving your personal time to serve the public and the dedication you shared with us in addressing the many issues we've been involved with over the past few years. Signed by Rick and Bob. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I very much appreciate it. I'm looking forward to the fried chicken next week.
That's the other thing.
Everybody should have got to sign that. Why did you just get signed?
I probably should have had everybody sign.
I want a magic marker where I can sign the glass.
That'd be good. You know how to sign anything?
Now, the other thing is his chicken dinner. He's wanting to talk to you about it.
I got another question.
Yes.
Why are you leaving?
Well, I've served for, I think, 8 years. I get to think of that.
Two terms.
Stony Bride was the chairman when I started.
Wow.
So.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Then Ed Akers after that. So it's been a while.
You come on about the time I got fired, then.
About the time, yeah. they traded one for the other day. That's all I can say.
We kept on
the toes.
But in all seriousness, I do appreciate getting to know y'all. I mean, you know, this part of serving the club is good, but just getting to know everybody's been great. It really has. I've enjoyed it. I'm sure you'll see me from time to time.
Yeah, I hear you.
Hey, you need to move on. I'm starting to agree with you part of the time.
So thank you very much.
I may be the one needs to move on.
Thank you, guys.
Sunday, we're going up to Salem, me and wife. You can take us up there and show us Whispering Pines.
Yeah.
You know where it's at?
Yeah. I do.
We're going up there to look that part of the country.
That'd be nice. Have fun.
If it's warm.
Hey, you've got some
it's supposed to be warm. Hey, what else do you have to say?
Steve?
What?
Talk to them about your dinner you're going to have next week. What, we're going to eat before or after?
We're going to eat before or after.
I was really just joking. You don't have to bring fried chicken.
He's bringing it out.
But I'm all for it if you want to. I like fried chicken.
Well, here, really, I was going to do it myself. Well, I mean, I need to sit down and say this.
Hang on. We're adjourned.